So, Trustee Hawkins. All right. Well, Christos was Kras. Christ is risen. Voistin was Kras. Indeed, he is risen. Thank you, everyone, for coming together on this, our second audio recorded meeting and conference call in our regular meeting of the board on May the 4th. We join each other on Treaty 6 territory and the homeland of the Métis, and we come together in the spirit of what it means to be responsible for the students and staff of Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools. So I'll call this a meeting to order, and I will remind you that we will be archiving this meeting as well, and I will just let all of our listeners know that roll call was held and that we have a full component of all of the board members present. I'll ask board members to remind the board members that we will star 6 when it comes to muting, if you don't have a mute button on your phone. And if you could all respond when you'd like to speak with your name so that our secretary, Daryl Basilak, will be able to put that through in the written part of all of our archives of this meeting. I will also remind us that we'll be calling for a negative vote when we're passing recommendations, and I will appreciate your names being called then. So I would like to open this meeting with a prayer that is, you'll join us in a sign of our faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we meet. In a time when you are being called upon by so many, please fill us with your grace as we make our decisions that affect our students, staff, and the greater community of our division. It seems that every time we meet, we ask you to watch over and provide special care for those beyond our reach, and today is no different. Please provide your guidance and wisdom to the residents of Fort McMurray as they face yet more difficult times in their lives. We hope that they are able to return to their homes very soon. Lord, continue to remind us that all we do here today, all that we accomplish, is for the pursuit of the truth, for the greater glory of you, and for the service of humanity. We ask these thoughts in your name. Amen. St. Paul, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, trustees, you had the opportunity to peruse the package that was sent out by our administrative assistant, Patty Cito. So you can see that 1.3 is the adoption of the agenda. I'll require someone to move that.
Debbie here. I so move.
And a seconder?
Wayne.
Thank you, Debbie and Wayne. I'll call for the negative vote. That recommendation is passed, and we have the adoption of the agenda. Trustees, we had the approval of the minutes as our next item. So the minutes of the April 6th, 2020 regular meeting of the Board of Education was presented to you. I'll require someone to move those minutes.
Alice,
also move,
I so move.
Thank you, Alice, and I heard Jim is seconding that motion. I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. So no delegations and special presentations or post-meeting assignments, as well as no consent items. So we'll proceed right to 6.0, the discussion. At 6.1, Catholic Education Week, from May 17th to the 24th, and we'll call upon Superintendent Gay to lead us in that conversation.
Thank you much, so much, Chair Boyko and all trustees. Just to let you know that the theme for this year is Catholic Education, Igniting Hope. For each one of the days, there's a different focus, with Monday being Our Hope in Christ, Tuesday, The Hope Within Us, and Wednesday, The Hope Among Us, and then on Thursday will be Hope for the World, and finally, A Future Full of Hope. And feels very appropriate, even though it was set before the pandemic announcement, but it seems very appropriate in these times as well. Promotional materials are being prepared by CICA, with a group from across the province who were working with Catholic Education, and would include things like social media blasts, media materials for the diocese and the school boards. There'll be daily prayer that would go out to teachers and students for their youth. And on World Catholic Education Day, there is going to be a live stream liturgy with Archbishop Don Boland at 11 o'clock, which would also be recorded. And we'll continue to work with Derek Kuntz, our communications person, to advertise these events and share information with our students and families. We're also going to put a request in that the bishops of the diocese and the eparchy would share this celebration of Catholic education within their announcements and homilies in that week. So at this point, I would like to take any questions that you might have at this time.
Thank you, Scott. Any questions, trustees, or comments? Hearing none, thank you, Scott, very much for you and your committee working through this, and I know that Darcy would have been part of all of that conversation as well, so we thank you for all the good work, and it sounds like it's going to be a beautiful celebration. So, trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the Catholic Education Week report. So I'll call someone to move that motion.
Sharon will.
Seconder?
Debbie here, I'll second that.
Thank you, Sharon and Debbie. I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. And thank you again, Scott. All right, trustees, let's proceed to the GSCS Pandemic Response Planning Report number 2. Lots of work is being done by our exec council, so I'll turn that over to Greg and John.
Thank you very much, Chair Boyko. Our pleasure to bring forward report number 2 since we instituted the formal pandemic response plan in the division. Report 1 remains very much appropriate, so that was contained in the contents of the previous board meeting. Given the length of the report and then the length of this report, we're assuming that the report 1 stands on its own. These are additional items to report number 1, and we'll just pick up those pieces and speak to those today as part of the report. So just do keep in mind that all the elements reported in report 1 are still continuing. These are the new components. Again, just a huge acknowledgement and thanks to our administration, both at the central office here and in particular our executive, but also our school-based administration, who have been working very, very diligently over the past while as we move the whole system into the supplemental learning opportunities that we have been able to manage. So whether that be online on hard copies and beyond with nutrition kits and all sorts of other mechanisms, there's been a lot of work happening in the background. So the purpose of the report today is again just to update you on new work and how the plans are proceeding. And I'll turn it over then to the various superintendents who will speak briefly to each of the areas. Then at the end, I have a few summary comments to make. So with that, I'll turn it over to Superintendent Rivard, who will just update us on the technology components of the plan.
Thanks so much, Director Chatelain. So after a busy few weeks, the technology teams have been making some great progress, and we feel that we've caught up to the regular pace of supporting the great work of the staff and students, and albeit in this new reality of all of our folks working online in some capacity. So again, our report, our support is in 3 different areas, as you've seen in the report here. You would have read the first one, professional learning. We've created how-to videos, and you would have seen the amazing data that's provided there. And as of today, over 15,000 views and over, already today, at over 750 hours of online PD that were delivered through these YouTube how-to videos. And just to remind folks that all this professional learning is taking place while they are teaching as well in the supplemental learning plans. Our cyber hybrid classes are continuing and supporting many of our students and teachers. And the tech teams, of course, continue to support our folks as they learn to use new tools and new platforms. We are continuing to collaborate with school divisions who are looking to Greater Saskatchewan Catholic Schools for support with online learning. As you know, the second point of focus was the device deployment for students and staff. And as of April 30th, we've fulfilled all student and staff device requests. And so currently, we have less than a 24-hour turnaround time to get those devices off to folks who are requiring them. We've loaned over 700 devices to date, And as school continue to connect with families, we know that these device requests will come in. And the third area was internet access. And as indicated in the report, we partnered with Saskatoon Public Schools, the SDA, SaskDel, and a nonprofit called Neducation to acquire devices, phones, and data plans to support families who are not able to connect to the internet. We know that this has been greatly received by families to not only connect to our supplemental learning plans, but also online services such as e-health and social services. And as well, all data plans families have requested are also up to date and in their hands as well. So, again, I can't reiterate more the amazing work that the technology teams have done and continue to do. And thank you for your continued support of those teams.
Thank you, Superintendent Rivard. We'll just pause if there happen to be any questions with this element of the plan, the response. Okay. Hearing none, and certainly we can circle back as we move through the rest of the report. But if there are some questions that are surfaced. And now I'll turn it over to Superintendents Fredette and Gay regarding the Supplemental Learning Plan.
Thank you, Director Chatelaine. Updates just on the four key areas of our supplemental learning plans, and so we'll just start in the area of access. So, of course, as we work to put technology in the hands of all those in need, support staff have been supporting teachers in the delivery of the supplemental learning plans by photocopying and packaging print materials identified by the teacher and distributing those to families that do not have access to technology. In the area of communication, virtual meetings with division and school admin, as well as admin with school staff, that's occurring weekly at minimum currently. And teachers are connecting with families to outline learning plans for the week as well. In the area of learning, teachers continue to use a variety of modes of delivery, phone calls, emails, online platforms, and online conferencing options when actualizing their supplemental learning plan. And we are in the process of gathering data on the number of students engaged in supplemental learning, and so we will be bringing this back to you at an upcoming meeting. Pre-K to grade 8 are continuing their focus on daily opportunities to learn in the area of literacy, mathematics, and religion. And grade 9 to 12 students, schools have been able to offer all classes previously taught face-to-face. And students and parents were provided an update for grades 9 to 12 in terms of their current mark as of March 13th, and this is the mark that they will receive at minimum in June. Schools are ensuring that they communicate the curricular outcomes that are not yet covered that will allow students to both improve their grade as well as gain an understanding of the concepts within the course. And in terms of teams, teams of teachers within each school have been working so hard. They've been developing support resources for one another and sharing those resources, as well as our coordinators and consultants continue to host professional learning meetings and support teachers throughout the process. In terms of June reporting, June report cards that will be developed, and we've provided a supporting resource for teachers in terms of determining students' grades. And then, of course, June report cards will be emailed to all students at the end of June, and print copies will be available for those who require them. I'd like to pause and if there are any questions in that area.
Mary, it's Diane. So I have had people ask me, so what percentage of your students are participating? Is that with online learning? So I know that that's a big project in itself is to be able to see what those numbers are. But do we have any kind of indication what percentage of our students are engaging?
Thanks for the question. Yes, we are in the process right now of gathering that data on the students that are engaged. And so we will be collating that and bringing that back to you as well.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Jim. I've got a question maybe more pertaining to high school, but also elementary. When it comes to graduation and using marks maybe back to March, how do we plan to judge, adjudicate scholarship awards based on marks that maybe somewhat earlier on in the school year? Like, has there been thought to that?
If I might speak to that, definitely within the scholarships often have multiple components that are involved in that beyond just the grade. And, you know, we've really, we're in the early discussions of how we would process that at each school. One thing we want to make sure happens is that every student has an equal opportunity to compete for those things. We don't want anybody to be held at a disadvantage, for example, if they had this in first semester, or vice versa, that they wouldn't be not considered if they had it in second semester and received a mark as of March 13th. So we're doing some processing around, there will be some vetting of things always beyond just the mark as we consider awards in these difficult times.
Thanks, Scott.
And hearing no other questions, I'll just turn it over to Superintendent Shercliffe.
Thank you very much, Superintendent Fredette. Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to give you a few updates on our support for intensive needs students. Our classroom teachers and learning assistant teachers are continuing to reach out to students through their online classrooms and or through phones, texting to check in and provide educational supports and programming. Our speech and language pathologists, our occupational therapists, and our counselors are also providing online supports to students in each of their areas as well through different online platforms. Regarding our role of our support staff, we have support staff organizing and continuing to mail out print packages for families who do not have access to technology, and also very involved in the nutrition kits that we send out weekly. They are also now engaged in providing tutorials to assist students in understanding and completing the activities and the lessons assigned by their classroom teacher and our learning assistance teacher, and students and families are finding that support very helpful, especially in our high schools. They are also engaged in online professional learning opportunities each week led by their learning assistant teacher and or principal. We, as a division, continue to pursue additional ways that we can support our intensive needs students during this time through lending equipment for individualized student supports, offering additional ways for school teams to support families, and looking into additional professional development ideas for our staff to be engaged in to continue to deepen their understanding and knowledge in supporting students in their roles. At this time, that is the updates for programming around our students with intensive needs. Are there any questions before I pass it over? Okay, seeing none, thank you. I will pass it over to our, I thought I heard someone. I apologize. We'll pass it over to Superintendent Martel, Basluck, Boche, and Lloyd.
Thank you, Superintendent Shercliffe. Superintendent Basluck here, and I'd like to start off with Human Resources Pandemic Plan. And basically to share, as the board has seen in the report, a procedures document that was put together collaboratively and sent out from Human Resources, which covers basic areas of basic guidelines during this pandemic. Personal protective equipment, descriptor of procedures for Section 2, procedures around our nutrition kits and our deliveries and pickups and preparation, as well as our learning services materials that we have distributed to homes and processes to gather those up. That document was shared with all in-school administrators as well as sent out to all staff as we process through this current time. That's all I would have for Human Resources.
Thank you, Daryl, and I'll pick it up from there. With the nutrition programming, I guess the latest developments are the full move over to home delivery through our bus provider system, and although there was a few hiccups along the way, Joel really helped with his team in terms of administrative services, helping to define the routes and such, and so that process now has been refined, and it's able to get the nutrition kits to the families in a timely manner while mitigating the need for excessive numbers of people to gather within the context of the school. Also assisting with the nutrition kit process is the centralized purchasing. In these times, as you can imagine, some of the products had been shorted because of demand, I suppose, and the supply chains. And so administrative services has been helping out with centralized purchasing. And it just takes a lot of the bugs out of the system again and ensures that the food products are at this packing site so that we're able to maximize the time of our staff that are coming together to prepare the kits for distribution. We continue to be impressed by the donors that come forward and provide supports to support the nutrition program distribution. We've received to date over $36,000 in donations from Nutrien, Kinsmen Clubs of Saskatoon, private donor, and from parish communities. And one of the highlights of this, our feedback to the donors is that our board chair, Diane Boyko, had generously offered to contact the donors personally. And I know we heard back from most of the donors as well, and they were just very impressed with the personal touch. And I think that goes a long way to show the appreciation for those community partners that are stepping up at this time. We also continue to sit at the community tables or hubs that are established, and while we learn a little, we bring a lot to the groups as well in terms of participating in a community consortium to provide supports. And I guess the value of the groups really as well is that they've kind of got their finger on the pulse of the community conditions, and as things change and needs arise, then we can adapt our service delivery as warranted. With the Aboriginal Student Achievement Coordinators, their work is more important than ever, I would say, at this time. Typically, the ASAC workers would carry a caseload of approximately 30 students. They've really had to ramp up their service delivery to be able to meet the needs of the students, the staff, and especially administration are noting when there are students that might need a little bit of outreach, or maybe they haven't heard from them in a timely manner, or there's other indicators that they might need some supports to be able to navigate through some of the complexities that they're dealing with during this most difficult time. The ASACs, working with Gary Bowden, our Manager of Community and Resource Development, developed a rubric needs assessment that they can use when they're assessing student needs, and it allows them to connect with the right resources within the context of the community. And so whether they're connecting with mental health services or social services or the food bank or other community partners, they're able to bring those resources to bear and ensure that the needs are being met. As well, the First Nations, Métis, and Inuit education team have undertaken their work to develop family learning and engagement kits that support early literacy. And when the process is all done by the end of June, we will have produced and delivered over 1,800 kits to the community. So far, they've been very well received, and they would contain articles like books and puzzles and games and other elements that cause families to have something interesting and purposeful to do that also highlights oral language development and early literacy within the context of the home. And so it meshes well with the nutrition kit distribution via the bus service, and so that we're able to continue to put resources out into the communities and meet the needs of our families and students at this time. And with that, I'll turn it over to CFO Lloyd to talk about rentals.
Thanks, Lieutenant Martel. Just a brief update, really, on the use of our buildings. We have canceled rentals of our facilities until the end of June and offered a refund or credit to those groups. We made that decision mostly because most groups were canceling anyways, as the program is quite uncertain at this time. We also will continue working with some of our partners, the churches, our child care centers, to use our schools when required still to ensure those operations continue as they are able to during this pandemic period. We've also worked with Saskatoon Public Schools, Prairie Spirit School Division, and the City of Saskatoon to ensure that our cancellations are clearly communicated and aligned with their practices as well. I'll now turn over to Derek Kuntz to go through communication update.
Thank you, CFO Lloyd. As mentioned in the last report, we've shifted from broad division-wide communication to parents and families back to more school, even classroom-specific ones. So classroom teachers are communicating regularly through the supplemental learning and the various tools they have. There's less need for the broad division-wide communication at this point, as there aren't any or many updates specific to education, K-12 education from the province or the federal government there. So we've been helping with website updates. Our website traffic has quite understandably shifted largely to cyber school, less traffic on other areas of school websites or even the division website. Continue to try social media posts that are encouraging people in their work. So we've congratulated and thanked different aspects of our workforce that are working. So our caretakers, our educational and IT team, who have obviously had their jobs and roles change significantly. A few schools have done short little videos trying to connect with their school communities, and we've done that through social media. That's been received very positively. And just last week, a provincial working group that I was on, a handful of other my colleagues from other school divisions, launched an online social media campaign called Take Back Your Year to try and encourage specifically high school students, but elementary as well, to engage in their supplemental learning as time goes on. So thanks to that working group for all that and the good work that has come out of that. And you'll see various posts from both the division and schools, and maybe even some individuals with the tag Take Back Your Year on that. Any questions on any of that?
Okay. Great. Okay, great. Thanks very much. And I'll just a couple of wrap-up comments, and I'll turn it over for any other questions or comments. So again, huge thanks to everyone for all of the work over the past few weeks as we address the many kind of new nuances and protocols and procedures that we needed to put in place. We are, again, monitoring things very closely. We've had the new injection now of the Premier released the plan, the gradual plan for relieving some of the restrictions that are in place, and we begin phase one of that process today, May 4th. So we are looking at the contents of that plan and how it may influence our operations into the future. Again, there's been no indication either through that plan or through other means that there's any change to the notion of face-to-face education again yet. So that's down the line for sure, down the line. But as administration, we are planning ahead, looking ahead, and trying to work through what some of the procedural elements will need to be in place when we do get to that stage of being able to resume some form of face-to-face education. So anyways, lots of plans are going on in the background, but for now, trying to just do a really good job of the supplemental learning plans, the nutrition kits, the literacy kits that are supporting our communities right now and responding as best we can. So with that, that's our report number two, and I'll turn it back to Chair Boyko if there are any other questions or comments.
Thank you, Greg, and Exec Council. Gord, I've had a question put to me by some of the members of our community regarding the processes about the delivery of things like the nutrition kits and engagement kits. And they're quite interested in we're quite interested in having that conversation about how all of that is unveiled. So could you maybe run us through just a couple of minute report, I guess, on what a typical day would be with those nutrition kits and engagement kits going out?
Thank you, Chair Boyko. So to better help me understand the nature of the question, are you inquiring about our process in terms of how they're developed or how the selection process occurs, or?
I think the question that was put to me was about the actualization. So how do those nutrition kits get filled? Someone comes in every morning, they come to the bus and get them delivered. So sort of that after the fact of everything being developed.
Yes, so the principals and their staff and nutrition workers identify distribution lists based on those families that typically access nutrition programming within the context of the school, and then they group the the families in terms of the numbers of children, the number of children that they have, and then those orders are communicated with admin services, and they draw from a standardized menu, and so they place an order with the service providers. The service providers deliver the product to the schools, and the nutrition workers and educational assistants, sometimes administrators, pack the kits. There are protocols determined that guide the safe distancing while preparing the nutrition kits. So they have paper bags, and they place the product on at stations, on tables, in the nutrition rooms or gyms or other areas in the schools where there are packing sites. And then they pack the kits and they label them. Then they're readied for transportation, and on the distribution day, the bus service provider comes to the schools, and the educational assistants and nutrition workers load the kits onto the schools, and then they make the route that has been defined by administrative services. And when they get to the homes, they I believe they call ahead when they're within proximity of the residents. And then a family member will come out, and they'll place the kits at the doorstep, and they will leave a perimeter so that they're not in contact with the family member. And then the family member will come out and pick up the kits, and that kind of completes the loop of from product acquisition to delivery.
Thank you, Gord. That was a good summation of a day in the life of. So I appreciate you being able to give us that kind of insight about what does go on. So we thank everyone for good work.
And it looks a little differently in all school communities. Some come at different hours to be able to, you know, ensure that they're not crossing over with other staff members. And so every school community has the autonomy to address as they see fit. But all in all, it's been a very smooth process with lots of helping hands, and it's serving a niche that is important in this tough time for families.
Good, thank you. Trustees, any questions, other questions of Exec Council at this point?
Sharon here. Gord, I'm just wondering, so how often are they delivered, like daily or every second day? And wondering, is this service going to end in June?
Yes, both good questions, and I'll talk about the end date, and I'll invite CFO Lloyd to talk about the delivery schedule, because since that they've are coordinating the busing, that he would have a better sense of that. But in terms of what we have prepared for in terms of the kit distribution, we have prepared to serve families and students until the end of June. And the fact that we don't continue our nutrition programs in the summer creates somewhat of a gap for families that rely on the important resource of the nutrition programs. There are other entities that do provide nutrition supports in the summers, such as the Federation of Labor, I believe, and the City of Saskatoon, Friendship Center, and other locations. And so we, I guess, share responsibility with those other organizations to be able to fill the gap. We've marshaled resources from a variety of sources to be able to fund this particular orientation until the end of June. So that's currently our plan, and certainly, you know, we could look at other options to be able to extend the support as long as we can, but the current model is resourced until June 30th. And Joel, I'll ask you to talk about the distribution schedule.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, so our process has been that the order goes into our food supplier every Monday, and we get a delivery on Tuesdays, and like Superintendent Martel mentioned, preparation starts Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursdays is our delivery day that goes out to all families. And our intent is to do weekly deliveries really for two reasons. One is right now we're focused mostly on non-perishable items. But again, as Superintendent Martel mentioned, those are short supply. They're even rationed to a certain extent. And they're not always the most nutritious options that we could provide to our families. So we are looking at moving to some perishable items in the future, and in doing so, obviously, we will have a short shelf life, so we'd have to keep continuing doing weekly deliveries. A second reason is that in some of our residences, we won't just leave a nutrition kit unless the family is they're able to receive it. So if they are not able to receive it 1 week, then they will get it the second week. And we consider a number of options, including a 2 or 3 week delivery at one time. But for those two reasons I just mentioned, we decide just to do a weekly delivery to families.
Thank you for answering the question.
So, Joel, I just got to follow up on that. So, that better understand this, our students that come to school in normal times would get basically fed as they need every day. So now we're doing some form of nutrition for our students once a week. Are we hearing anything that is suffice? I understand what you're doing in terms of the perishable issue, but should we do it more than once a week, or what are you hearing from the families?
Maybe I'll jump in there. Sorry, Joel, do you want me to? I'll just respond to aspect of the menus there. Actually, the kits that go out once a week represent the entire week's breakfast, snack, and lunch. And so certainly, you know, when we serve students within the context of our schools, we aim to provide a nutritious meal based on a standardized menu at the, really, I guess, the lowest possible cost. And so the cost of meals, for example, lunches are under $1.50. And that's achievable when you're making large batch soups or stews or those kinds of things. That's not possible when you move to home delivery. So, you know, breakfast would include, for example, like a packaged porridge, for example. Snack might be a fruit cup, where in the normal context it would be a piece of fruit, for example. And a lunch could be you know, a canned soup or pasta dish or something like that. And so we still try to meet the nutrition guidelines best we can, but the volume of food is represented by every. Is a full week's worth, so it's represented by every day of the week rather than just 1 day a week. So so far from families, we've heard great appreciation for the effort to be able to deliver food, and they find that it is you know, the families that our principals report speaking with are very appreciative, and that they find that it's an important part of their weekly or monthly nutrition budget.
Okay, so right now, and thank you for that, Gord, there's no need to do it more often. That once a week delivery is sufficing?
Well, it would represent the same level of support that we provide in normal times, I guess. And so, you know, I guess we hear the indicators as well in terms of the draw on the food bank and, you know, the other needs. And the thing is, too, that you know, White Buffalo Youth Lodge is distributing food hampers to families. You know, there's the community partners are coming together with 3 distribution points within the city to provide support. There's many other organizations that are doing similar work. And so we would hope that our contribution to the community, you know, fills a void that they would typically experience, you know, where they would typically experience supports through the context of the school. And our contributions align with other service providers to be able to meet needs.
Okay. Thanks, Gord. That's good.
Diane, Tim here. Just want to comment on the conclusion of the report. I want to thank Admin Council for this for a detailed report. In the conclusion, it says one cannot overstate the degree of change that has been managed effectively and efficiently over the past these past weeks. That is so obvious to all of us. And I think that same phrase, and I really like that, that one cannot overstate something. And in the previous sentence, where I'd like to just add to that, one cannot overstate the level of collaboration, flexibility, leadership, and creativity by our administration, our teachers, and our staff. So a big thank you to everyone, and you're in our gratitude and prayers. So thank you for all you do.
Very well said, Tim. Thank you for that. All right, I'm not hearing any other questions or comments, so the recommendation that the Board of Education receive the information is presented in the GSCS Pandemic Response Plan Report Number 2. And I'll call someone to move that motion.
Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne. A seconder?
Tim.
Chair. Thank you, Tim.
I'll call for the negative vote. Hearing none, that motion is carried. So thank you, everyone else, and as Tim so eloquently put, Exec Council and your staff and your teams, we appreciate the work that you're doing, and we'll continue to pray that you'll use all of your strengths to the best of your ability. So thank you for that. All right, trustees, let's proceed now to 6.3, the Preventative Maintenance and Renewal Plan. And presenting that will be CFO Lloyd and Manager of Facilities and Capital Projects, Ryan Martin.
Thanks, Chair Boyko. Each year, the board is asked to approve a four-year preventative maintenance and renewal, or PMR, plan. The funding for this PMR plan is conditional funding as set out by the Ministry of Education. So we are required to create a PMR plan that matches funding for next year, but are able to forecast budgets in the last 3 years of the plan that more reflect our needs. So you'll see in the plan, the amount per year does go up after next year, and that is the rationale for that. One other point before I turn it over to Ryan Martin, Manager of Facilities and Capital Projects, is we did receive mid-year funding this last February of $374,000, and our initial plan was to spend those dollars this year. But as we received budget in March, we saw there was actually a decrease in our overall PMR dollars of about the same amount. So when we revisited that, we thought it's probably more strategic just to continue on with the same amount we got this year, next year, and roll that mid-year funding into next year's plan, and that also would be reflected in the plan. So now I will turn over to Ryan Martin to go through the plan in more detail.
Thank you, CFO Lloyd, and thank you for the opportunity to present on our preventative maintenance and renewal plan for 2020-21 through 2023-24. As CFO Lloyd alluded to, for the 2020-2021 school year, our division received $3.44 million in PMR funding, which is a decrease of 8.8% in comparison to 19-20. We were fortunate to receive additional mid-year PMR funding of just over $374,000 to offset the decrease of 8.8%. While we had hoped for an increase, it is positive news and demonstrates a commitment from the Ministry of Education in supporting a strategic approach to maintaining building elements or replacing those items that have reached end of life. By way of comparison, we received $1.15 million in PMR funding in 2013-2014. Seven years later, we are now three times our 2013-14 PMR funding. For the 2020-2021 school year, the plan presented is the actual work that we will complete to align with the funding we have received. For the latter 3 years, these are proposed plans that will be reevaluated once PMR funding is confirmed within each provincial budget. It is important to note that the plans for 21-22 and beyond are more reflective of what our actual needs are. We have made great strides over the last 7 years in terms of funding, in terms of the funding we receive, but it's clear we still have a gap to close. Roof replacements remain one of our top priorities for our division within our PMR plan. In terms of the building envelope, the roof is the most critical element. With an annual spend on roofing between $2 and $3 million, we are making progress towards addressing the many roofs requiring our attention. In addition to replacement of roofs on core areas of our facilities, we're also replacing 10 to 15 relocatable classroom roofs annually. Our efforts are paying dividends. This spring, we saw a reduced need for reactive roofing maintenance at our schools, although we still have a great deal of work to do. So at this time, I just pause and see if there are any questions on the preventative maintenance and renewal plans for 2020-21 through 2023-24. Okay, hearing none, I'll turn it back over to Chair Boyko.
Thank you, Ryan and Joel. Trustees, thank you had a chance to peruse the report. Now the recommendation is that the Board of Education receive the information as presented and approve the four-year 2020 to 2024 Preventative Maintenance and Renewal Plan. I'll need someone to move that motion.
Move, Ron.
Debbie here. I'll move that motion, Diane.
Thank you, Debbie. I'll need someone to second it.
Ron.
Thank you, Ron. I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. Thank you very much, Joel and Ryan, for the good work that you continue to do. All right, trustees, let's proceed now to modular classroom construction, and we'll add in Superintendent Gauthier along with CFO Lloyd and Mr. Martin.
Thanks, Chair Boyko. Included in the package is the relocatable summary, really. It's in two main pieces. One is our traditional relocatable construction, and those six relocatables were announced prior to budget day as part of that mid-year funding announcement. So our school division received six relocatables, and that would be the first piece of the report. Tender package one and two would be those relocatables. And on budget day, we received our joint use school or P3 school relocatables as well. And that process is somewhat different, where Johns Controls in the ministry and JUMP go and procure those relocatables and then supply them to our schools to ensure that they're ready for September 1st. So this time I'll turn it over to Ryan Martin to go through a little more detail of the report.
Thank you, CFO Lloyd. This year we issued four tenders for the construction of six new relocatable classrooms in our division. The tenders included two relocatables at Holy Family, two classrooms at George Vanier, one at St. Joseph, and one at Father Vachon. We're thankful for the support from our partners at the ministry in supporting the need for additional classroom space at these schools. We're very fortunate to have great interest in our tenders, with eight bidders participating in each competition. We're also fortunate to have good local general contractors to submit competitive pricing. Strata Developments was successful on the St. Joseph and Father Vachon tenders. Strata is a new contractor for GSCS and new to constructing our relocatable classrooms. Having said that, they are a reputable local contractor in Saskatoon. Carmont Construction was successful at George Vanier and Holy Family. Carmont constructed our relocatable classrooms last year, and performed extremely well. We are very fortunate to have the opportunity to work again with the Carmont team in 2020. Pricing was very competitive, with eight contractors bidding. The average price per unit across the four tenders for construction was just over $260,000. At this time, I would ask if there are any questions specific to our 2020 relocatable contracts. Hearing none, I'll turn it back over to Chair Boyko.
Thank you, Ryan and Joel and Kent. Trustees, you have the opportunity to read the report, and now there are two recommendations. We'll consider each one of them separately. So the first one, that the Board of Education award the tender for modular construction to Carmont Construction Limited for the tendered price of $459,425 plus applicable taxes for Georges Vanier Catholic Fine Arts School, and $459,583 plus applicable taxes for Holy Family Catholic School. I'll need someone to move that motion.
Wayne here, I can make that motion. Chair Boyko.
Thank you, Wayne. A seconder?
Sharon, yeah. Well, here, I'll second that.
Thank you, Sharon. I will call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. The second recommendation, that the Board of Education award the tender for modular construction to Strata Development Corporation for the tendered price of $272,526 plus applicable taxes for Father Vachon School, and $372,000 plus applicable taxes for St. Joseph's High School. I'll require someone to move that motion.
Tim here, I still move.
Thank you, Tim. And the seconder?
Ron.
Thank you, Ron. I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried as well. Thank you again to Joel and Ryan, as well as Kent. Let's proceed now to the 6-point.
Diane, Wayne here.
Yes?
I just missed out on a question, if you don't mind backtracking here.
No, I don't at all.
To Ryan and Joel, in regards to the joint use schools for the portables, do we get any information in regards to any of the details on those, like the cost and who are the trades or contractors that are going to be doing the work there, and especially the cost compared to what we're getting? I can, CFO Lloyd, I can speak to the contractors and who's doing the work. I don't know if you have more insight into the cost side.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Trustee Stews, on the P3s, as CFO Lloyd mentioned, JCI is our point of contact on those units, and they work with Bird Right Joint Venture on the procurement of such, and they were the contractor that built all 18 schools originally 3 years ago now. So they have worked with another local relocatable classroom builder in 320 Modular to procure those units, and that's who they had worked with last year as well. And from our perspective, that was a very successful process. They were ready on time, met our requirements, and what we found is that many of the same local trades folks that worked on the original schools and the original relocatables that may have been on schools when they opened were also working on these relocatable classrooms.
That's good to hear.
And I guess to add to that as well, there's a few details that we ask for, because there's some furniture and fit-up equipment that we add after we take receipt of the classroom, and we were able to work with Johnson Controls throughout that process to ensure that what we were going to be doing by way of fit-up was aligning with the construction details for those classrooms. So all in all, it was a fairly decent process to go through.
Well, good to hear.
I can comment just on the costing of these relocatables. We're not really providing information until after they're completed, and we're provided so that we can amortize it through our financial statements. They're a little tricky to go through, just because there's two components to it. One is the construction of the actual unit, and two is life cycling cost of that unit. The life cycling cost would be renewing that over the next 30 years. But overall, they are usually a more expensive option than what we've been currently doing, and partly because of that life cycling cost. And I can commit to bring back that pricing at a future date once we receive that from the ministry.
Super. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you. Let's proceed now to 6.5 and the hyper-converged infrastructure. Is that Superintendent Bazalak than the hypo-converged
infrastructure? Chair Boyko, it's a hyper-converged infrastructure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to also recognize my IT manager, Jim Bennett, and manager Laurie Langua, who put together the request for proposal for the hyperconverged infrastructure. We've been working on this for a fair amount of time. As in the report, it outlines the hyperconverged infrastructure as a change from our traditional server structure. It creates an environment that delivers high performance, greater storage, improved reliability in a much smaller space, which improves our ability to keep things running more reliably, use less power, lowering our cooling requirements, which actually do add up to a fair amount when you're running servers. It helps to bring down our overall annual operating cost. I think it's important to acknowledge some of the pieces in having the new infrastructure that will allow us to maintain our business continuity plan with less downtime, lower risk of data loss, faster disaster recovery, a better system performance, as well as an ability to more rapidly adapt to the scalability of size for our servers. The term of the contract that we had put forward was 5 years, which, with an option to extend for 3 additional years. The RFP closed date was on March 18th, 2020. We had a team committee that consisted of Jim Manager of Information Technology, Michael Johnson, System Administrator, Will Buell, System Administrator, Ken Rideout, System Technician, Catherine Holmes, Manager of Finance, and Laurie Langua, Manager of Corporate Services. Through the evaluation process, WBM Technologies Incorporated scored the highest with an overall score of 91.15% out of a possible 100%. And the estimated cost of the contract over 5 years is $441,000 plus applicable taxes. I'll pause now for any questions.
Daryl, this is Jim. Are you at liberty to name the other participants?
Sorry, I don't have that that information.
Okay. It makes it a little awkward at this time. So I'm not sure what our next step should be.
If the board may, I could look up the information and bring it back if I have about 5 minutes of research time, if you can circle back.
I'm sorry, Joel, what did you say?
Just if the board could circle back to this report, I could bring a list of those proponents in 5 minutes, if I could.
Yeah, okay. But you, it's okay to, in public forum, to name the participants?
Yes. Yeah, no problem at all.
Yes, okay. If you would, thank you, Joel.
So we will pause there, Chair Boyko, and then return to that. I'm not sure if you want to move to the next item.
Yes, thank you, Superintendent Bazalek. So while we're waiting for Joel to come back to us, we'll assume there hasn't been any correspondence or expressions of gratitude on the reading file. So let's proceed right to the reports and the good news. So the report of the Director of Education, Director Shetland, have you been busy?
Oh, a few things on the go. Just wanted to highlight a few things today. One was the Ed Sector Strategic Plan and the notion of the transition to the Provincial Education Plan. And so the board will recall that in 2014 we started out the Education Sector Strategic Plan, and that was to sunset in 2020, and the work has been ongoing to develop the new strategic plan for education called the Provincial Education Plan. And so things were shaping up to transition to that for the fall. Again, still lots of work to do to wrap up our education sector plan. So there's more to come on this file moving forward. We haven't been able to get together provincially here for some time to work on the plans and figure out how to transition. So my sense is that we're going to just stretch a little bit of that ed sector plan into next year and begin that transition during the course of the year next year. But with respect to our usual data gathering, that of course won't be happening this spring. Typically we would be engaged in such things as gathering our end of the year reading data with our students, our early years evaluation spring gathering, and a number of other math and reading gatherings of information. And so our school's data, et cetera. So all of that will have to be on pause for this spring. And we'll pick that work up again in the fall. So it will definitely cause a gap in some of our longitudinal data gathering, both at the division level and at the provincial level. But given where we are right now, it's just not practical, nor would we have any kind of accurate data to move forward on in making our decisions. So I just wanted to let the board know of that and that we're trying to get contingency plans in place for the fall, both on the sector plan and for our data gathering. GSCS Administrator Mentorship Program, even though the fact that we weren't able to celebrate the final gathering for our mentors and mentees this year, as we typically would have done, we did have a very successful mentorship program again this year for administrators. The Vice Assistant Principal group, along with the leadership of Superintendent Martell, again, provided a wonderful opportunity for our administration for mentorship. It's too bad that we weren't able to gather and honor the significant work, but just wanted to make sure the board was aware that the work did continue this year and was again once very successful. Listed as well in the report is just a number of cancellations that have been underway. It's very odd to have many of these significant celebrations not able to happen. You know, our feast and our round dance, our the Bishop Flavich Easter breakfast, our award ceremonies for various things, the Joe Kammermeier dinner, all kinds of important gatherings in our community aren't able to happen. And it's really unfortunate, and we'll have to be very aware of that as we, you know, begin to resume some sense of normalcy in the future here around opportunity for our communities to get together and celebrate and gather, as that's a very important part of our of who we are and our community. So those would be the few things I wanted to report on today. Unless there's other questions, I'll turn it back to Chair Boyko.
Thank you, Greg. Let's proceed now to board activity linkage. Is there anything anyone has to report?
We can actually circle back to the previous item if that works for you.
Okay, thank you. So, Superintendent Lloyd, you have some information.
Actually, Chair Boyko, I have the information for you.
Okay, thank you.
Or rather for Trustee Carrier. So on February 14th, we had put forward the RFP. It was posted on SASC tenders to satisfy the requirements for the new West Trade Partnership Agreement and Canadian Free Trade Agreement. So we had considerable interest. We had other interests from Charter, ST Consulting Services, Horizon, Powerland, and WBM. So those were the other interested parties that had put forward the RFPs. No others. Sorry, would you like me to repeat that, Chair Boyko?
Others? No, sorry. Thanks, Daryl, and thank you, Joel, for that information.
Yep, good question. I'm glad we could clarify.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. Trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education award the contract for the provision of hyperconverged infrastructure to WBM Technologies, Inc. I'll require someone to move that motion.
Also move, Jim.
Todd here.
Thank you, Jim. Todd is seconding that motion. I'll call for the negative vote. That motion is carried. Thank you, everyone. All right, let's proceed back, circle back, I guess, to the reports and good news. So I had asked if there was any activity or linkage in anyone's lives at this point, trustees. Hearing none, board linkage for Catholic school community councils. So Tammy, I had wondered if we are, or if what the engagement is at this point with Catholic school community councils. Are our principals and administrators in each of our schools ensuring that there is that contact, and I'm wondering what the contact will be with the board when we consider the last meeting with our Catholic school community councils would be occurring around this time.
Hi, Chair Boyko, it's Tammy. It's interesting you asked that around their Catholic community council meetings. Last week we had an administration forum with our principals and vice principals and shared some guidelines so that they would continue to meet either by phone or on an online platform like Teams or Google Meets. And so schools are continuing that work, and many were doing it already, and many just needed some guidelines. One thing we did share is that we only had six, but we'd move all the annual general meetings to the fall because we were worried that to have an annual general meeting without face-to-face, we might not be able to engage all parents that want that opportunity. So we'll be working with all schools to do the annual general meeting in the fall. And regarding around our big event, we hadn't really done any planning because, unfortunately, we're not able to do a big event. But if you have some ideas and would like us to look at some planning for that, somehow virtually, I can work with the council and Catholic Community Councils to do something like that if that's the wish.
Thank you, Tammy. I think it's important that we keep the communication going. More asking if they have questions of us, do that dialogue.
I'm so sorry, Chair Boyko. I lost you on what you just said. I apologize.
Chair Boyko, I think there's something wrong with your phone. I'm not sure if you could try a different line or.
Yeah, I can hear it from my end as well. Is this a little better?
Not really.
see if I can just use another. Well, that stopped, didn't it? Okay, let's proceed now to any committee or operations, anything.
I think we're not really able to hear your directions there, Chair Boyko. I think you asked if there were any other linkage reports from the from trustees. So I'll just pause for that. Any other linkage reports from trustees before we move on to committee and partnership reports? Okay, hearing none, maybe we'll move on to committee and partnership reports. And the first one on the list is the Joint Operations Committee, and that would be Trustees Burscheid and Stoos.
Nothing to report at this time, Greg, other than that we have a meeting coming up on May the 26th.
Okay, sounds good. I did hear somebody chime back in, and perhaps that was Chair Boyko trying back.
You're correct. It's Diane.
Much better.
Okay, so thank you, anything and together and act with Trustee Jelinski and Risling?
Nothing to report at this time.
Hearing nothing, thank you. Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools Foundation, Trustees Risling and Zakreski Rebecki.
Sharon here. We have nothing to report at this time. The meeting will be held on May 13th.
Thank you, Sharon. The Mamaukamatuan Partnership with the Tribal Council, nothing to report at this point, as well as our CUMPSI and GSCS Educational Alliance. I know that the work continues in both of those capacities, so thank you to everyone involved there. Trustee Jelinski, anything in Saskatchewan Catholic School Boards Association?
Just a few things to share with the trustees. As you know, our school division is hosting the Canadian Catholic School Trustees Association's annual convention and AGM in June of 2021. In light of that, the SCSBA, a provincial association, will not be holding an in-person convention AGM this fall. And so what we will do in November, on November 25th, along with the Saskatchewan School Board Association's meeting, we'll take some time that day to have our AGM for the Catholic School Divisions in Saskatchewan. The SCSBA website has seen a lot of activity in the past 6 or 8 weeks. Most notably was March 25th and 26th after the ruling came down on the Theodore case, and we got a lot of interest again shown on our website over that. And again, I take the opportunity to thank all the people who have been very supportive of our school divisions in terms of Theodore. And the accolades we have received since that time, so it's very, very positive. Other than that, I think that's it.
All right. Thank you, Trustee Jelinski. 8.8 is the Saskatchewan School Boards Association. So we continue with our Board Chairs Council that occurs now once a week, and with the response team our President, Sean Davidson, is part of that response team, along with the ministry and leads, and we look forward to having those conference calls on. It's been scheduled for the Thursday mornings, and everything has been laid out as far as the work that's being done provincially, and then directed down to each of the divisions to use their own autonomy to make sure that things are actualized in the way that their community needs. So those meetings, I think, have been beneficial, and I hope you feel the same way with the reports that are sent out. All right, so that's for reports and good news. If anyone else has anything to add at this point, I'll pause for a minute. All right, thank you so much for the good meeting. We appreciate everybody being able to participate, and to Daryl and our exec council for ensuring that this meeting is available to all of our public. So I'll ask Trustee Hawkins to lead us now in a closing prayer.
Thanks, Diane. We'll just close with a Hail Mary, please.
if everybody can join in. In the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen.
Father,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Todd. If I could have someone adjourn the meeting, please.
So do
Darren Will. Well, that came through together, so I'm not sure what the name would be. Was that you, Alice?
It was.
All right. Thank you, Alice. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Have a good week, and we'll look forward to all the good work that continues to be done, and pray for all of us and all of society to go down the path that will ensure that all of our staff and students and society as a whole remains healthy and safe. So God bless all of you.
Thanks, Diane. Thank you. Great day.
Diane, I read about at the beginning you prayed for the Fort McMurray people?
Yes.
Would it be appropriate to send Keith McGrath, he's a fellow trustee right in the Catholic system, just that we remember them in our prayers today?
Yes, I will do that. I'm in contact with Keith just on social media, so I will do that and let him know that today he held a special place in our heart. I'm sure he'll appreciate
good.
That.
Thank you.